See Diana with us, amen. And so I was thinking about her, and you know, this we already know that this is two Sundays in a row she came to listen to you preach. She's never done me that way. So the only way that I know for penance sake, everybody knows what penance is, right? Pay for what you do that's wrong. She got to sing up here with Brother George. All right, so. Whatever song you want to sing, okay, Brother George? Okay. All right. Brother, you come.
What a good brother. A lot of wonderful memories here. And, well, if we do go back to New Mexico, we'll see you again. We'll see you again. Amen. Yeah. This is all temporary. I'm going to be here another 5 minutes, and then we're out of here. Praise the Lord. It's been a real joy to share a little bit of the word with you. I'm so very thankful, and I just can't tell you enough how much I love and appreciate all of you and what you mean to me. Great, great memories, and thank you. Thank you. Brother Wade, are we good? Okay. Before we start the message tonight, just to encourage you with a scripture, Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, say, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart.
Yes,
wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Dr. Benjamin Rush. Dr. Benjamin Rush was one of the 52 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And it is said that he asked John Adams, who would become the second president of the United States, he asked him and said, "Can we defeat the British?" And John Adams said, "Yes." Listen, church. Yes. If we fear God and repent of our sins. Now, see, that statement right there was very important. Why? Because they were starting a country. That statement is important because we are trying to save one. Amen. Take your Bibles, please turn to the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles and chapter number 32. After the national election last November, church, we really entered into a troubling and dark time. Amen. Now listen, we're not going to just acknowledge what's happening, what has happened. We are going to rise to the occasion, amen, and we're going to let the people know that there is hope, amen. Now, three thoughts tonight that will hopefully set the right tone as we start, hit the ground running in June, amen. 2 Chronicles 32, let's go ahead and stand and read the Word of God together. 2 Chronicles 32, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." Y'all can say amen right there. "And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Someone say amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated. The word of God is the source of our encouragement. From the word of God, light shines in dark times. Someone say amen right there. Now, there are times when the days are so dark and the wounds are so deep, we can't utter a word. Do you remember Job? His friends saw him, and they saw that his affliction was so great, they were speechless. Sometimes the days are so dark, sometimes the wounds are so deep, we can't say a thing. But then there are other times when we need to stand up and speak out, praise the Lord, and inspire courage. That's where King Hezekiah comes in. And that's where God is going to come in tonight, is my prayer. Praise the Lord. That's what he's going to do for us, is our prayer. Now, you've heard the expression, "Work as if everything depends on you, pray as if everything depends on God." Amen. Now, Hezekiah, good king, good leader, he did everything he could humanly do, humanly possible, to protect God's people in Jerusalem. In verse number 4, it says that he disguised water sources so the enemy couldn't use them. Amen. That's pretty smart right there. And then he rerouted other sources so Jerusalem could still continue to have and use water, also in verse number 4. In verse number 5, it says he filled breaches in the city wall. Amen. What a genius right there. Repair the wall. Build the wall. Amen. And then he raised towers and built arms for war. Verse number 5. Hezekiah, the king, did everything he could do to protect Jerusalem. But here's the thing. As the king, as the leader, he had to rally his people. He had to inspire courage. How did he do that? Now look at verse number 6. How was King Hezekiah going to rally the people? Verse number 6 says, he spoke comfortably to his people. Interesting word, comfortably. If we were to use a go to Noah's 1828 dictionary, we would see the word comfortably means to speak with hope and cheer, notice church, for God's performance. So when verse number 6 says Hezekiah spoke comfortably to the people, it means that his words were not just meant to convey assurance, but then those words were to also re-spark a trust in God among the people. Someone say amen. Why did he speak with assurance so the people would have a renewed trust in God? Because they had a country to save. Are you picking up what we're throwing down? Why is God going to use this text tonight at Glory Baptist Church? Because we have a country to save. We have a country to save. And the only way to save America is through missions. That's the only way to do it. Now, there are political leaders, pastor, I prefer to have than others. Can I get a witness right up in there? But the only way we're going to save America is through missions. Now, let's talk about that. Now, advancing missions, and here's the outline. Advancing missions entails a fight, fears, and facts. Missions involves a fight, fears, and facts. Number one, we have a country to save. God says, remember this. Number one, with God, you can fight this fight. I'm excited already, y'all. With God, you can fight this fight. Notice these words in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, be strong and courageous. Why was he saying that? Be strong and courageous. Because King Hezekiah knew war was coming. War was coming. Did you know that we're in a fight? Remember we read that scripture from Ephesians 6 this morning? If we were to read verses 13 through 17, Paul goes on to say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day. Are we in evil days? And haven't done all to stand. Stand therefore. And then he talks about the armor of God. Now, what do we mean when we say, fight this fight? What do we mean by that? The fight has three perspectives. The macro perspective, or the overarching perspective of this fight, means through missions, we desire to slow the devil and his agenda down. Amen. Through missions, that's what we're going to want to do. Generally speaking, slow the devil and his agenda down. Revelation 12:7 says, Michael and his angels fought the dragon. Sometimes, Pastor, when I'm talking to my boys and we say goodbye, there's a couple of sons in particular, I tell them, all right, son, don't forget. Fight the dragon. Fight the dragon. We got to fight the dragon, y'all. The micro perspective of this fight means through missions, we are going to strengthen that which is moral and decent and just and wholesome and good. Someone say amen. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What foundations? Those moral foundations. The godly foundations. Praise the Lord for those things. Amen. 64 genders? Are you kidding me? Now that being said, at its core, what does this fight mean? It means spreading the gospel like never before. Whatever Glory Baptist Church has done this far, praise the Lord. God will reward you at the judgment seat. But now we're going to up our game. Amen. And preach the gospel like never before. And I've heard some wonderful ideas. I've heard a VBS idea. I've heard a tent revival. I mean, that's good. That means God is working. We're thinking about these things, and we're going to up our game and preach the gospel, spread the gospel like never before. You know, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem, and everybody said, don't you dare go, don't you dare go. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, the man that wears this girdle is going to be bound, and so on and so forth. Do you remember what Paul said, Acts 20:24? He said, why are you trying to break my heart? He says, I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. Acts 20:24, but he says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify or preach the gospel of the grace of God. He was going to up his gospel game, brother. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. On a serious note, because I live in Reelsville, like y'all, okay? Laura and I attended the Texas Right to Life banquet in Houston last year. I think a guy by the name of Jim Graham is the president. No relation to Billy Graham, but that's his name. And Tim Tebow's mom came to speak. It was a nice evening. And then at the end, Mr. Graham, as they always do, they kind of make their last proposal or appeal for funding for the next year. And they had, Pastor, they had these massive screens. And he put a screen up. Listen to this quote. This is what he said. He said, if we don't fight this war, what war is he talking about? The war to end abortion. Amen? He said, if we don't fight this war with money now, we're going to have to fight it with bullets later. Now, I don't think he was saying that for shock value. I don't think he was saying that just to gin up more donations. I think he was trying to be real and try to get people to get serious about ending abortion. Because right now, we can fight that fight with money. Amen? Now, how does that translate into what we're talking about? Here's the thing. When it comes to missions, we cannot do it without God. We can't. But one of the ways we do it, in God's way of doing it, is through our giving. And like Pastor said, it's above the tithe. It's an offering. Praise the Lord. And so I trust that we're all giving the tithe here. So, but here's the thing. We talk about fighting this fight. Here's the important prepositional phrase. With God. With God. That makes all the difference in the world. You see, we don't have to fight our fight with bullets. Amen. We don't have to do that. But we are crazy if we're going to try to fight this fight without God. But with God, we can fight this fight. Someone say amen. Now, verse number one, look at verse number one. It says, after these things, for our purposes, we're going to say after they stole the election last November. Someone say amen. Amen. All right, so after these things, what's going on? Well, years before this event, Hezekiah wanted to restore the temple, its worship, and he wanted to end the pagan practices of his father. And so the temple was rededicated. And Hezekiah wanted to have a national Passover feast. And so this was going to be a big deal. They hadn't done that in a long, long time. And so pilgrims from all over were coming to Jerusalem. And as they're coming, ascending up to into Jerusalem, they're smashing pagan shrines left and right. And man, they're getting right with God, and there's a wonderful feeling in the air because this is going to be a new beginning. They're going to do the Passover. The temple and its worship are being restored. They're doing all of these things, and then what happens? The king of Assyria wants to come in and attack and destroy Jerusalem. As a nation, in just the last couple of years, we were just beginning to put God back into national life. We were just beginning to defund the abortion industry. We were just beginning to get behind Israel. We moved our embassy to Jerusalem from we were just beginning to make some progress. And guess what happened? They stole the election. Nevertheless, in spite of Sennacherib, Hezekiah said, we can fight this fight. Right. Why? Now, these words, be strong and courageous, they're military in nature. Hezekiah is saying, hey, listen, don't surrender. Don't give up Jerusalem. Amen. Now, Hezekiah is not saying be strong and courageous. You know, suck it up, buttercup. You got this. By the way, I hate that expression. You got this. No, you don't got this. We don't got this at all. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In him, we live and move and have our being. Someone say amen. Good night. We don't know whether to zig or zag without the Lord Jesus Christ. You got this. No, you don't got nothing. We need Jesus. So, be strong and courageous. Now, he's not saying that because, hey, you guys are tough. You got this. No, he's saying it because, look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. He says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Before he says, be strong and courageous, now he's saying, do you know why you can? Because you have a covenant with God. And by the way, the fight that you've got to fight and the power you need to fight that fight is not in you anyway. It's in him. Someone say amen. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Turn to Zechariah chapter number 10. Zechariah chapter number 10. Zechariah chapter 10, look at verses 5 and 6. Bible says, and they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight. Why, church? Because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded or confused. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. Why? To fight for you. Whether it's the world, whether it's the flesh, whether it's the devil, whether it's a bunch of leftists or a bunch of Marxists. Amen right there. With God, we can fight this fight, but we don't dare fight this fight. We don't dare do missions without God. If we were to go back to Acts chapter 5, we won't. There's a little story about a man named Gamaliel. Gamaliel. He was a leader of the Jews. I believe he was one of the part of the grand poobah Pharisee of the Pharisee types. And the Pharisees had beaten the disciples of the Lord. And this is the KMV, the Kevin Murdoch version of this little passage. Gamaliel gets them all together and says, listen, man, sit down. These Nazarene boys, shut up and leave them alone. Give them some space and back off. Here's why. Every now and then, there's some guy that thinks he's somebody, and he gathers followers to himself, and they think they're going to do that, this, or they're going to do that, and guess what? They fall by the wayside. There was some guy, Judas of Galilee, he thought he was somebody special. He thought he was all that in a bag of chips. He gathered some to him, and he thought he was going to do something. Guess what? You don't read about him anymore, amen? He doesn't even have a Twitter feed now, amen? You can't find him on Facebook anywhere. Now let me tell you something about these Nazarene boys. If what they're preaching and what they're doing is not of God, they'll fall by the wayside. They will disappear just like everybody else. But then he said, But if what they're doing is of God, now this is what Gamaliel said, ye cannot overthrow it. Unless, happily, you find yourself fighting with God. If you're okay, and if you're good with fighting against God, you just help yourself. But you better sit down and shut up and leave these guys alone. You don't want to fight against God. So what are we trying to say? God says when you're done with missions month, remember, like Hezekiah, you've got a country to save. Amen? Amen. And with God, you can fight this fight. The fight is missions, church, and no one can overthrow it. It just is a matter of how much are we going to get involved in it. Missions cannot be overthrown. Number two, with God, you can face your fears. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Put a bookmark there, sorry. 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 7. Hezekiah says, with God you can face your fears. Verse number 7 says, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For our purposes, the king of Assyria is a type of Satan. And you could probably argue that because many have said that the Antichrist is technically not the precise term for the beast. There are some 30 names for this beast, this person called the Antichrist. He's called the Assyrian. Did you know that? He's called the Assyrian. So for our purposes, the king of Assyria is the devil. And the multitude that is with him is everyone that works for him. So Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And he, at this point in time, had claimed to conquer 46 cities in Judah already. Now he had his eye on the prize, the crown jewel, Jerusalem, the capital of Judah itself, right? This was a very troubling time for God's people. By the way, I love Israel. I love Israel. And God has a plan for Israel. And the best days of Israel are ahead. Amen. We were talking about lunch and just all the different contributions that the Jews have mightily contributed to the world. Someone say amen. But make no mistake about it. The United States of America is the crown jewel of the earth, and the devil has his sights on us and wants to take us out. Now, when a king surrounded a city, deprivation of supplies was only one technique a king would use to conquer that city. A king would also use psychological warfare. Psychological warfare. Look at a couple of verses with me. Look at verses 9 and following. After this, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem? But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Y'all should give up. Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying that the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And on and on and on through verse number 19. Psychological warfare. Now, what's psychological warfare? Here's one definition. Psychological warfare are techniques that influence a target audience's value system, belief system, emotions, motives, and reasoning and behavior. Imagine for 2 years, the Assyrians are outside of Jerusalem. And God's people are watching these people morning, noon, and night for 2 years, thinking in their minds, man, when they finally break through the wall and get us, what are they going to do to us? Fear. Fear. Psychological warfare. Instilling fear. I can't imagine the psychological impact that would have on God's people in Jerusalem. In the 1200s, Genghis Khan used several psychological techniques to degrade the morale of his enemies. Just a couple things he would do. At night, he would command his soldiers to carry three torches instead of one, to give the impression that his army was much larger than it actually was. He would tie objects to horses so that when the dust came up, it would look like an overwhelming attack force was coming. He designed and made arrows with special notches so that when they flew through the air, they gave a very terrifying sound. And if that wasn't enough, he would literally throw bodies and heads over city walls. Psychological warfare. To degrade the morale of his enemies, to put them in fear. Now, led by Satan, the mainstream media, amen, the multitude with the devil does the same thing. They try to instill in our hearts and minds hopelessness, fear, terror. So why? They hate the gospel. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to demoralize us. Now Hezekiah told his people not to fear. He said also, nor be dismayed. That word dismayed means to be mentally shattered. And brother, was it Eli? Was it Eli that made the comment? Eli made the comment. So one, it's not a sin to be in fear, but if one is continually in fear, then one crosses the line. And they become mentally shattered, dismayed. That's what that word means. Psalm 23, verse number 4, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, that's a pretty brave thing to say, because he didn't have somebody trying to kill him. I mean, he had someone trying to kill. We don't have someone trying to kill us, is what I'm trying to say. He had someone trying to kill him. And back in the day, man, if they got a hold of you, man, they would torture you in a horrible, horrible way. But with God, David said, I can face my fears. And you know what? Again, the KMP, Kevin Murdoch paraphrase, God says, listen, I know you got people trying to kill you, Dave. But guess what? I'm going to fix you the best brisket barbecue you've ever had in your life, and you're going to eat it right in front of your enemy's face. That's how much I'm going to take away the fear that you have. Now, God didn't take away his enemies right then, but God did take away his fears. You cannot sense fear in the 23rd Psalm of David. Even death is a shadow. Not worried about it. With God, we can face our fears. Turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Y'all all right? Isaiah 51. And look at verses 12 and 13. Bible says, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched out forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? That's good right there. Because really, in the grand scheme of things, in the eternal perspective of God, all of the bad guys, they're all in the rear view mirror. Every empire, Assyria, Babylon, The Medes and the Persians. There, I forgot it for a second. The Greeks and the Romans, they're all in the trash can of history. Someone say amen.
Yes,
amen. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God says, when you're done with missions month, remember, like Hezekiah, you have a country to save. But with God, you can face your fears. Finally, the last thought tonight, with God, you can focus on the facts. These are some good facts coming up, y'all. With God, you can focus on the facts. Verse number 7 says, "Nor for all the multitude that is with him." For, and this is in the Hebrew, okay? The fact is, there be more with us than with him. That's a great fact. That's a great fact right there. Oh, how right he was. Do you remember how this story ended? 2 Kings 19. Real quick, we're almost done, church. 2 Kings 19. Oh, how right he was. 2 Kings 19, 32 through 37. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it." Verse 33. "By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Hey, Hezekiah, the fact of the matter is there's more with us. There's more with you than with them. Amen.
That's right.
There's another story of Elisha. I believe it was Elisha. They were surrounded by the Syrians in Dothan, and the servant was terrified. And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes." And there were angels camped round about them. And, hey, the fact of the matter is there was more with them than with the Syrians. Amen. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Why? "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, that wasn't just for Joshua. That's for us. Amen. Josh, the fact of the matter is there's always going to be more with you than with them. But I want to claim that tonight. Amen. With God, I can focus on the facts. Romans 8:31, New Testament Scripture. If God be for us, and he is, who can be against us? It doesn't matter. Christian, the fact of the matter is there's always going to be more with us than with them. Now, don't amen this, but someone said you and God make a majority. That's wrong. God is the majority. It wouldn't matter if the entire world were against us. God is the majority. The fact of the matter is there's always going to be more with us than with them. Now, we are going to be tempted from time to time to get mad or upset because we're freaking out, if I can say that, or melting down because whoever's in the White House or whoever's in the Nut House, amen, I realize that the patients are running the asylum. Amen? And so I get it. But it doesn't matter. They can all be in the bounce house for all I care. It doesn't matter. There's always going to be more with us than with them. The enemy's everywhere, you say, I know. But remember, after missions month is over and beyond, we have a country to save. And the only way the country is going to be saved is through missions. Missions involves the fight, the fears, and the facts. But with God, we can fight this fight, face our fears, focus on the facts. The facts of the matter, the fact of the matter is there's always going to be more with us than with them. Praise the Lord. Be strong and courageous, church. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful again for your word. We humbly ask God now that we will take whatever you've given to us, Lord, and we will value it and treasure it. We'll consider it a pearl of great price, whatever it is. Lord, we sing that song, Little is Much, when God is in it. Lord, you recorded the giving of the widow's mites. Rahab put just a little scarlet thread in her window. Lord, little things are a big deal to you. And Lord, we're little. There's not much to us. But Lord, we're asking that you use us to do a great and mighty thing. And that great and mighty thing is missions. However we advance the gospel, no matter what heights we climb, no matter what difficulties we face, I just pray that you will please part the waters. Let us go through. Let us see miracle after miracle. But Lord, let us do our part. Lord, Moses turned aside before he saw the burning bush. The servants had to roll away the stone before you had Lazarus come forth back to new life. Lord, the servants had to fill the water pots before you turned them into something wonderful. So Lord, right now, I pray that every heart, every person, first of all, would have assurance and know that they're truly born again, soundly saved. And if there's someone here tonight that does not have that assurance, or maybe perhaps, Lord, they don't care about that, I pray that you would get their attention. Because there's nothing more important than knowing that one is a child of God. And for those of us, Lord, that are your children, please give us assurance. We're sheep. We're easily frightened. Help us, Lord. As one prayed tonight, Lord, we need you. We need you. The song says, I need thee every hour. Now, Lord, for this wonderful, precious church body, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that, again, you will give them a clear path in what to do next. Whatever the next step is, I just pray that we'll be obedient. Lord, thank you for the love and the faithful and generous support of Glory Baptist Church. And I know every missionary deeply appreciates them. Bless them mightily. And I pray that they will ascend higher and higher. Lord, even now, I believe that you're working in hearts. Lord, Pastor has said some wonderful things to inspire us as he prayed this afternoon. Without the vision, the people perish, Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for the great vision of missions. Now, Lord, what's the next step? So, heads bowed before the Lord. Pastor is coming. Whatever God is dealing with you tonight, I pray that you will either receive comfort or assurance, or maybe you need to obey the Lord in some area. Maybe you just need your Heavenly Father to tell you that he loves you. Whatever the need is, I pray that he will meet that need because he loves each and every one of us.
Yes, amen. Church, let's end our service here tonight at the altar. I would encourage you to come if you can. Fill that altar, fill this altar. Lay out before the Lord. I'm going to pray and I ask you to pray with me.